We're at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. It's a Thursday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show. Delighted to have you with us, and delighted this morning, as we do each and every Thursday morning, to have our mayor, Sue Kemp, with us on the phone. Thank you for calling in this morning, Mayor. How are you today?
Hey, great. Good morning, Ed.
It was great to see you yesterday at our 95th birthday party. And I thought to myself at first, I wonder how many people will show. And I just, you have those thoughts. It was a nice turnout yesterday and a cool party.
It was a great turnout. I had the same thought. I didn't know how many people would show up, but we did kind of publicize it, but not too far in advance. I was really surprised. But what really struck me is, people in this town really come out for music. We just had the FET. We have, music at the festival. We have, Laguna Beach Live Jazz, all of our venues around town. And, people just love the outdoor music. And that big band, that community jazz band, sounded great.
Yeah.
The Surf Tones.
I think it was
the Surf Tones. Yeah. They're great. And, people just really enjoyed themselves. It's just really nice. It was a really nice event.
I will say this. As good as everything was, as good as the music was, as cool as the event was, that ice cream that Sheree was passing, that was really, really tasty. And it hit the spot, too. It was like a perfect summer afternoon addition was the ice cream.
Well, yeah, and I was telling Sheree, because we weren't scheduled to talk until like 5 o'clock, and I said, Sheree, what about the ice cream? It's hot out here, and let's get the show on the road. I don't think people want to hear from us much. They'd rather eat their ice cream and listen to music and just have a good time with their neighbors and friends.
Right.
So we got it going a little faster.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, and she was a wonderful hostess in the afternoon. Shoot, she really was. And I will say this, though. You said that people don't want to hear from us, and you went up there, and your few minutes up on stage was really, really super interesting. You were talking about putting 95 years in perspective and where we were in 1927 and what was going on then. That was really interesting. And then, if I may, allow me for just a moment, if I may, then Tony comes up there, and it was this just giant political rant that it hit like a lead balloon. Everybody was just looking at each other like, what the hell is she talking about? What was going on there?
Well, I don't know, but for me, the 95th event, it's just a happy situation where we're all out together. I mean, we have a beautiful town. We have a very sweet history, and it was so funny when we were putting those little factoids together. I was thinking about the fact that Laguna Beach has always had a traffic problem, their parking problem. And in 1927, the problem that, the police chief had to enforce the no double parking rule. And a speed limit problem because of traffic. It just never changes. Things are so. It was great. I mean, for me, I don't know. I'm very upbeat about the town. I think the town is doing well. We're getting, of course, a lot of visitors, and it kind of rubs residents the wrong way this time of year because we get inundated, and I get all that. I don't know what you can actually do about it, but I think overall our town is so wonderful. We're about to celebrate. On the 2nd, the 90th anniversary of the Festival of the Arts.
Right.
And we just had the 56th anniversary of the Sawdust Festival. I mean, this is just incredible that these events and venues continue year over year for decades. It's amazing.
Right.
I think we all do.
Right. And much like our town turning 95, and like you mentioned, the Festival of Arts 90 and the Sawdust, these are institutions here in our town, and I am delighted to be part of this time in our lives here. I really dig this.
Oh, me too. I mean, life is short. We got to try to have fun when we can around here. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in the world, which I think we're going to talk about probably next, but yeah, there's a lot of things going on in the world, but overall, our town, it's a nice, sweet haven. It's a great place to live. The residents, we're a tight-knit community. We don't always agree with each other, but we're a tight-knit community. It's just wonderful.
Right. Well, I certainly appreciate you yesterday keeping it real, and I certainly appreciate the city for putting on such a great event yesterday. Let's turn now to some things that have happened since the last time we spoke. So last Thursday, you and I spoke, and then on Friday, all hell breaks loose. The Supreme Court of the United States overturned Roe Friday morning. Tell me your thoughts. Give me your thoughts here. Well, you and I discuss all kinds of things. Tell me your thoughts there.
Well, I just can't believe that in 2022, we're having our rights rolled back. I mean, it just doesn't happen. I mean, this is the kind of evolution you expect to see, where people get more and more rights. We become more an enlightened society. We realize that, you know, we're not all the same. We may, you know, we may look different. We may act differently, but we all should have rights in this country. And, you know, whether or not what your political leaning is, it's just really important to make sure that we're protected. I can just see our rights continuing to erode. And we don't, you know, we do well as a society here. You know, people have personal beliefs about abortion. I totally understand that. I get that they have those. But, you know, when 70% of your electorate wants you to do something,
right,
and you don't do it, then you're being ruled by the majority. It's just not right.
Right. I had Gwen McNallen on a couple of days back discussing this exact item. And I'll ask you the same question I kind of posed to her. Didn't we kind of shoot ourselves in the foot? Didn't we see this coming 6 years ago with Mitch McConnell's refusal to give Merrick Garland a hearing? And instead of taking to the streets back then, and most importantly, to the ballot box in 2016, we found ourselves focused on other things. And when women's rights were clearly on the chopping block.
Well, this is becoming one of our core problems in this country, is we're not voting. You know, we should have a huge turnout every 2 to 4 years to make sure that we keep our elected officials on track. You know, we're just not doing that. And complaining after the fact and having rallies, that might get people stirred up to go to the ballot box, but it doesn't cure the problem. The only thing that cures the problem is the ballot box.
Right.
And, you know, I'm hoping that this November, with all the things that have gone on in the last, I don't even know, 6 months, the last year, and people just have had it, you know, and we just, if we don't do it, we are going to lose our democracy. You know, we're seeing this in the hearings that we've been seeing in the select committee, how scary this is.
Right. Right. It's so our democracy is on such a razor thin line on its success or failure. And what we're learning in the hearings is breathtaking. It really is. So I trust that you watched Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony the other day.
You know, I watched every minute of that, and I watched it back twice, actually, in the evening. And, you know, what struck me is, you know, I watched it, and CNN had like a 2 or 3 part series on the impeachment of Richard Nixon, the whole debacle with Watergate. I watched that. I lived that, you know, like a lot of us.
Right.
I was in junior high school at the time, and I was watching that very intently, and then I read a bunch of books about Nixon because I just found it a fascinating story. But it was kind of contained. And the Republican Party, the Republicans actually went after him, too. And they said, you know what, you're not going to be doing this. You're going to have to resign.
Right.
And, you know, fast forward here where you have a 25-year-old woman coming forward and testifying when people twice her age who are right in that inner circle won't come forward and say a thing. You know, this woman is savvy, brave beyond belief. She's going to look back on her life someday and hopefully say that she saved our democracy by coming forward. And maybe she'll pull some of these other people out of the closet and get out and start talking about what they really saw. People coming to the Capitol, they knew they had automatic rifles and weapons and not put metal detectors, knowingly let them charge the Capitol. I mean, are you kidding me?
Right. Right. It wasn't a spur of the moment crowd reaction to lies at a rally by a crazy man, but it was a planned and carefully orchestrated coup that had been in the works for months.
Right. No, that's right. And, you know, that committee I saw yesterday, just as I was leaving for the 95th birthday celebration bash down Main Beach, I saw that they subpoenaed Cipollone.
Yes.
But, you know, and they've got Eastman's text messages. I mean, let's just bust this thing wide open. Let's see who was doing what, and let's put them where they need to be.
Right, right. So the two things that stuck out to me probably the most in Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony was that Mark Meadows, the guy she works for, Mark Meadows knows what he knows. He knows when he knew it. He knows what he did. And he, like Rudy Giuliani, asked for a pardon.
Oh, yeah.
So,
you know, nothing like knowing you're doing the wrong thing.
Right.
Correct it, ask for a pardon, and then when the select committee wants to ask you about why you did all those things, you don't want to come forward and talk.
Right.
So, you know, you get what you get. And, you know, if we don't stop this now, we're going to have this problem forever. People are going to get away with stuff, and they're not going to go to jail for things they should go to jail for. I mean, if you and I do stuff around here, we get caught, we go to jail.
Right.
These are high crimes, and these are treasonous acts. These are acts against our country.
Right.
Not like you're stealing a candy bar from a gas station.
Exactly.
You know, come on. I mean, this needs to be addressed, and hopefully Merrick Garland. You know, I was listening yesterday. They were talking on one of the radio, one of the TV shows about Merrick Garland, and you know, he has to weigh, you know, should he try to prosecute these guys, including Trump, or would it be too fracturous, and he just need to leave it alone and try to do something a little less, you know, significant. So he's got a lot to think about, but he's got the weight of our democracy on his back, in my opinion.
That's beautifully put. I want you to address one more thing for me before I let you go. So we know that 25-year-old Cassidy Hutchinson will eventually, someday down the road in our history books, be considered a hero for her testimony. What about the sacrifice of Liz Cheney, who I've mentioned this on the show here. I've probably disagreed with 95% of the votes that she's taken in Congress, but I cannot be more proud of her as an American and what she's doing. And really, within the Republican Party as it is today, she's committing political suicide by taking the honest stand. What are your thoughts there?
Well, you know, I've got a lot of Republican and Democratic friends, and most of my Republican friends are so appreciative of what Liz Cheney is doing, because she's probably not going to get reelected, you know, but she's putting her country first. So, you know, I think what a lot of Republicans, especially the old time, my parents were Republicans. They would have been appalled at this. Most of my friends' parents were Republicans. They would have been appalled if they were alive to watch this. But that young girl, you know, so she's 25, right, Ed? So she has her life ahead of her. And, you know, of course, she's going to get flack. And, you know, you see that those comments at the end of the testimony where Liz Cheney put up, which were not attributed to a particular person about the, you know, witness tampering that was going on.
Right.
She obviously is getting that. They were making a point, basically, you know, leave her alone. But, you know, in the long run, she can figure it out. She knows a lot for a 25-year-old. Think about when you, I don't know what you were like when you were 25, but I know what I was like.
Yeah, I wasn't like her, trust me.
Testifying in front of Congress. What? No, but, you know, I think, you know, for her, she had an incredible experience. Her life will come to her in a good way, I think. Agreed. And when you do the right thing, once I served on a jury, and the prosecutor said, you know, the truth is sustaining. No matter how you hit it or what angle, the truth is the truth. And I thought about that many times in my lifetime. And, you know, that's true for her. She told the truth when it was most important. She came forward when it was most important. So she'll have a good life as a result of this. She'll have a lot of interviews throughout her lifetime. 50 years ago, we'll look back, and she'll be 75 years old, and she'll be talking about it, you know.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
A question about voting, and you mentioned that what has to happen is that we absolutely must vote. Would you be inclined to want to change a voting day to a Saturday or a weekend day where more Americans could vote? Would that be a good idea?
Well, I like the idea of, you know, I like the idea of multiple days to vote. You know, like we had the Suzy Q, where you could go in there and you could vote for, I don't know how long the period was, I can't remember, but, you know, you could just walk in the Suzy Q and vote.
Right.
I like that because, you know, I personally, most of the time I like to vote in person. This time I voted by mail, but this time I filled out my ballot and I walked it into the Suzy Q. Those poor people were in there. There wasn't anybody in there because they said 86% of the people in town were voting by mail. And
right.
Sometimes they'd walk ballots in there, but that's what I like. I like access to voting for as many people as possible. But what if you're traveling or you have somebody sick and you can't get to the, you know, you're just, whatever happens in your life, you can't get to the polls on a, you know, on a Tuesday. You know, just make voting access easier. It doesn't hurt anything. It just expands our democracy and opportunity for people to cast their vote. What's wrong with that?
Right. Wonderfully put. Always a great conversation, and especially this morning. I really appreciate you being with us this morning. Mayor Sue Kemp, as always, thank you so much. I look forward to these conversations, and I certainly look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks, Ed. Good to be with you.
Have a great July 4th. We'll look for you on the other side.
Me too.
All right. Bye now. 8:46 the time.